I will say, let's clap a little while. It's important. You at home, clap, because you're about to go into another realm of living, and just need to clap a while. You know, thank God, and have your expectancy on another level, because some things are about to happen in your life. All right, we'll get into the Word this night. I'm thankful for you here. How many you have online connected now? Just give me a hint of how many, because many lives will be changed. Father, we thank you tonight for your Word. We yield to the Holy Spirit, the God that's in me. May he minister to the God that is in everyone who's listening. May your presence and your power begin to manifest at this very hour in our midst as we study faith, that faith begin to manifest in our life, and people have to ask us, what are we doing? So many things about to happen, Lord, supernaturally, and we are so thankful that you've given us your Word. Your Word is alive, and there are so many manifestation and demonstration and revelation in your Word. And as we yield to your Word, we trust the Holy Ghost that is on the inside of us to bring forth revelation and inspiration and illumination that will change us as we feed on this Word tonight. Create an expectancy in us. Create an excitement in us. Let us recognize we're not dealing with a dry well. There are so many other things that you want to reveal to the church and through the church and by the church. So we are thankful this is a great moment in the church life. We desire to be healed and be used and to enjoy your presence and enjoy the assignment you've given to us. We'll carry it out with great joy and with great respect and great honor to you, Father, and honor to Jesus, and honor to his blood, and honor to the cross, and honor to his resurrection, and honor to the gift of the Holy Spirit tonight. Holy Spirit, no way we want to grieve you or quench you. We want you to flow in these scriptures. Open our eyes, both physically and spiritually. We thank you for all who are in tune. We come against all sickness and disease. We take our permission back from the enemy. Because any sickness, disease, or lack in our body, he had to get our God-given permission. We take our permission back tonight that we will not be sick, we will not be broke, we will not be angry, and we will not be confused. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Get ready to take a lot of notes tonight. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Beginning at the first verse, the first three verses, we're going to be given the lesson tonight we're going to be dealing with is, I have given your faith the right mindset. But I want you to say, given my faith the right mindset. Now, if you would think about that a moment. A faith mindset. I don't think much been talked about that. And so I think that if your faith have the right mindset, a lot of things can happen that has not been happening. Romans 12, 1 through 3 give us why we should have the right faith mindset. It's not a normal mindset, because a faith mindset is a mindset that can cause things to happen supernaturally. It puts your faith in a divine position of thinking. Whoa. It puts your faith, put that down. It puts your faith in a divine position of thinking. In other words, your faith will work from divine thinking. So we read here the Apostle Paul talking about the perfect will of God in Romans 12, 1 to 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There he talks about your body, talks about the mercies of God. Now he goes on in verse 2, and we are now in the process of framing our mind to function properly with our faith. You heard that? Framing our mind with the Word of God, that the Word of God is the very thing that produces faith. So if our mindset come clear from the same Word, then our mind, we can think faith and act in a proper perspective with faith. So the second verse, I want you to read it with me, because it, the second and the third verse, because I want you to notice in the third verse, the word think is used three times. Find it and underline it. The last four word in the third verse is the measure of faith. So actually here the Lord is revealing the relationship between your thinking and your faith. Now, a lot of people were believing God for things. They had the faith, but they didn't have the thought. See, because some way religion taught us that we can just think anything and just believe God. No, you got to have his mindset. And so your faith, oh my goodness, tonight is about to be rearranged into dynamics that the body of Christ have been looking for. Right here from this little town, any good thing come out of Darrow. It's going to come out by revelation tonight. I feel the presence of God, and I'm here to instruct in some of the deepest form of the Spirit I've ever been in before. So I want you to understand, underline, finding that third verse, three times the word think is mentioned in that third verse. Now in the second verse, it's going to tell us how to do it. Because if your mind conforms, when faith is transforming, it's going to hinder your faith. Faith is working in another realm. Faith is working in another world. And if your mind has not been renewed to go over there with faith, it's become a hindrance to your faith. Your thinking can be a hindrance to your faith, or your thinking can be in cooperation with your faith. You heard that? Your thinking can be a hindrance to your faith, or your thinking can be a cooperation with your faith. Because you have the divine right to think spiritually. We'll see that in other scriptures. I have a right to think spiritually. All right? So here in the second verse, let's read it together. Follow me. And be not conformed to this world. All right? Now that word conform, there, you need to make a note of it. It's taking the shape, the sound, the attitude, the direction, the level of the world. And God don't want that for you. That's why you're going to see what he says here. He said, and be not conformed to the world. Let's read the next part. But be ye transformed. I can't hear y'all. By what? The renewing of your mind. I underline in my Bible the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Very important. It has to be consistently on daily basis. You can't renew your mind and just say, all right, mind, you renewed. No, because it got so much conformity and stuff coming to you every day, the news, all different type of people talking to you. So you got to keep your mind renewed. You see that? Yes, all right, by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove. What is that what? Good. Now, there's three things here. You need to underline those three things. You're on one level or another one. You know, I always like to be on the top level. Yes. Yep. How many listen to me like to be on the top level? Yeah, so that's three levels you got to charge here. Now, those three levels, oh, my goodness, determine how powerful your faith going to be. I just saw that in the spirit. It these three levels here, he says here, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is determining what level your faith going to be on. Your thinking has something to do with your level of faith. You want your faith to be on the first level? You want your faith to be on the second level? Or you want your faith to be on a higher level? Where you're matured in your faith. You're matured in the will of God. Your faith operating in the maturity of the will of God, and you're thinking right along there with it. Hallelujah. Now, third voice here, because I got a lot of things to get to. The third voice here, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think. Now notice that word, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That is again, think. But to think, three times, isn't it? You see it? But to think what? Soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. And then he lining up all he's been talking about, presenting your body and transforming your mind. It was coming to this measure of faith that your mind set and that you could have everything in alignment with your faith, and that your faith can really be forceful and powerful and do things. So we're talking about giving your faith the right mindset. I think it's a masterpiece. He said, my brother and sister, this is what the Lord told me. He said, say this. Now, my brothers and sisters, this lesson will be life-changing because your faith will begin to think like God.
Yes.
Your faith will begin to think like God. I wonder how God think about things. God never thank failure. He never think he can't do it. So as we turn to another powerful scripture in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're giving our faith the right mindset. Here's a revelation given to us. In the first part of this verse, of the seventh verse, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, we're told to renew our mind in Romans 12, 2, so we can think right. But your thinking got a whole lot to do with how you're going to come out. How your faith going to come out? Faith run up on unrenewed mind and can't function. People have a lot of scriptures and still can't function because they have not let that word renew their mind. Now watch what I say now, because you think you're going to be hearing me, but you're not. For as he thinketh in his faith, so is he. For as he thinketh in his faith. In other words, we're coming into the school of knowing that your faith has a mind. You see it? As a man thinking. So you can't go on and operate in faith without having the right thinking. It won't work. Now turn with me again to Philippians. Philippians. We're talking about giving your faith the right mindset. Giving your faith the right mindset. I am excited. Because I know what's about to start happening. I have an affirmation we're going to do on the end. But I'm excited about what's about to happen to you in your faith life. In Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And I'll make a statement. And I wish you could catch a hold of it. Philippians chapter 2, and I'll tell you the verses in a minute, but I'm going to make a statement now. I want you to repeat this after me. Let me say it, then we're going to repeat it. I have the ability to think like God. Now, I want you to say it with feeling and say it with expectation, not as a routine, but as a revelation. You know what that is? I have the ability to think like God. Do you know what you're saying? Do you know we're not going through a ritual here? We're not going through a Tuesday night just to have a little Bible study? No. I have the ability to think like God. Say it with some feeling in it. Now this time when you say it, I want you to think it. I want you to feel it. And I want you to fade it. I have the ability to think like God. Those of you in your home, I want you to say it, because there's something about saying things. There's an affirmation. and is speaking it in existence. Now look at the verses that confirm this. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Listen what it says. Listen what it said about our cousin, which was also in Christ Jesus. You mean to tell me the scriptures is saying to me that I can have the same mind in this life that Christ had? Well, let's prove that. Where did Christ get his mind from? The Word of God, the Spirit of God. And so he said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did he have? God, well, I'm glad you asked. Go to the next verse. Boy, I wish I had somebody in here reading the Bible with me. This is the kind of mind he had. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Christ thought like God. And by thinking like God, his faith received the same results that God received. But you know that's Christ. But now we are told in these verses, we have the divine privilege and the divine right to have the mind of God and think equal with God. And the thing is God, life is in us. I have the ability to think like God. Now the next time you use your faith, it's not going to be on the same level. See, these things are being deposited in you for a reason. Now notice again, here's the third thing I want to say. Notice this thing again. Instructing my faith, God's character. In other words, you want to instruct your faith, God's character. You just found out in that text you'll be equal with God. But you have to instruct your faith. Your mindset have to instruct your faith that actually my faith is God's character. I heard something. My faith put me in God's caliber. Or was my life goes on the same grade scale that God is when my faith think properly. Theologian, going to fall off the chair now. But my faith make me equal with God. And it's God's doing. It's not so much I know so much. It's he's given me the revelation and his word of how to let him function through me. And give me the credit. You got your shouting clothes on? Huh? Instructing my faith, God's character. You wrote that down? Instructing my faith on a daily basis. The character of God. Whew. I feel the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. You're going to see this clearly. You're going to see this clearly. Somebody's going to lose it in their home. You're going to lose it. Because they're going to hit you. It's going to hit your house. I'm expecting miracles, signs, and wonders to happen in people's home while I'm preaching tonight. You got 550 live connection right now. That means that's over 1,000 something people. I don't know how many people. I'm trying to find out how we can get where people tell us how many watching with them. All right, now, you ready? I don't know if you're ready. Let me see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Instructing my faith, God's character. After the Apostle Paul told so many revelations about I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ, him crucified, talked about the wisdom of God, talked about the power of God, talked about demonstration of God in this chapter, talking about eyes have not seen, no ear heard. Then he get down to the end of the verse and says in the 16th verse, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here go the theologian again. You know what he's saying there? God have fixed it where we can instruct him. Because we're not really instructing him, we're following his word. Come on, I want you to see it. You see, he already have instructed us. So actually, our instruction, we have the mind that we can agree with God, and that's God's instruction. When we can agree with God, God said, well, he can handle it. She can handle it, so I'm going to let him go there. Because they got my mind. Look at the voice again, because we're talking about instructing my faith, God's character. For who has known the mind of the Lord? He's talking about, that. He said, I'll give you better. Go back up to the 14th voice. His argument is here. If you have not renewed your mind, you can't go here. And you're natural minded. You're a Christian with a natural mind. You're a Christian that think just like everybody else. You just go to church on Sunday and say a few prayers and sing a few songs. But Monday and Tuesday, you think just like everybody else. You don't have the mind of Christ. You got the mind of the world. You see this here? Now watch what he said. Here's where you're arguing from. In 1 Corinthians 2, you're arguing from verse 9 and 10 and 11 on down the line. And so the one to make you really see it is verse 14. But the natural thinking man, that's what he means. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Who see it now? See, they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man can, but he said, all right, then he said, but he that is spiritual, verse 15, judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Then he said in verse 16, for who have known the mind of the Lord? Now, my brothers and sisters, I don't just know the mind of the Lord. Say it. I have it. See, Satan wants us to think warmish. He wants us to think that because we have some infirmities and insufficiencies and we miss the mark sometime and we're not always up to par, he wants us to think we can't have it. So he wanted to bring us into his category because he can't have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. We just got to know how to activate it. My job here tonight is to get all this warmish stuff out of you and worrying about your mistake. There's no condemnation in them who are in Christ Jesus who walk now the flesh. So you slipped in the flesh. Get back up now and be led by the Spirit. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? You see that? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? It's a question. Then he answered, we can do it. But we, see, no longer talking about who, now he's talking about but we. We have the mind of Christ. But listen, the mind of Christ functioning is not automatic. You got to go back to Romans 12 too now. See, you have to constantly feed that word into your mind. All right, let's go a little further. I wrote it right before I left out of my office. This is going to help you on that scripture. Who will know the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I wrote a fourth note that's going to change your life forever. But we have the mind of Christ. You know what the Lord told me before I left out of the office? He said, that means tell me what you want to do about the situation. You tell me what you want to do about the situation. You take my word, present it back to me, and tell me the situation you're dealing with, tell me what you want me to do about it. So a lot of times things can't happen in our lives because we don't have the right language to talk to God. Because our mind is not in harmony with his mind. Here's another story here. God has given us the right for our mind to be in harmony with his mind. When we go to this scripture here, we'll throw you off. Isaiah 55, we're talking about giving your faith the right mindset. We've talked about, for as you think it, in his faith, I have the ability to think like God. Hello. Instructing my faith, God's character. Now I want you to write these words down. Go to Isaiah 55. I'm going to give you some words that I want you to be able to meditate, look up, and help you along this line, because many things are about to change in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. This lesson will be life-changing because your faith will begin to think like God. So we're in Isaiah 55, right? I'll tell you the verse in a few minutes. I'm going to make a statement, some words. I'm going to give you some words. Thoughts, faith, ways, words, divine results. Thoughts, faith, ways, words, divine results. Now, don't turn loose what we're talking about. What we're doing is giving our faith the right mindset. That's what we're talking about, giving our faith the right mindset, all right? In Isaiah 55, I'm going to a particular way, but I want you to look at verse 8. No, yeah, Isaiah 55, verse 8. I want you to look at it. I want you to look for thoughts. I want you to look for faith. I want you to look for ways. I want you to look for word. And I want you to look for divine result as we go. God said now we have to know something before I read this verse, that he has already given us his thought, his word is his thought. So if you feed on his word, see, if you feed on his word, you're feeding on his thoughts. Okay? But his thoughts are not English. His thought need revelation, it need interpretation, it need to turn into a rhema word, a live word. It can't just be an English word or a paragraph or a colon or a comma. It had to be him revealing himself to you. Me and my word are one. So when God gave us this book, he gave us himself. Holy men of God written as it moved by the Holy Ghost. See? And faith make it come alive. So watch what he says here now. Now I say something else again. Now, reading this blindly, you're going to get the wrong concept of it. But with the total picture of what I've been teaching you tonight, and that's why I tell you that God and his word, they are synonymous, and God has given us his word and the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us so that we can think his thought. Here, Isaiah, right? Isaiah trying to show us something, that you can't be messing around because you can't have the thought of God automatically. You have to want the thought of God. So he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways," said the Lord. So thoughts and ways. You see that? Thoughts and ways. He said, "For as the heaven are what? Higher, higher. I need you higher. I need you thinking higher. I need you thinking Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is a good report. I need you to think it hard. I need you to think the I am-ness of thought. I am the way, the truth, and the life." All right? For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So if you stay trapped in your thoughts, you'll never go where God wants you to go. Your faith say, "I won't go," but you ain't thinking right. I can take you there, but you ain't giving me the right thought information. "For as the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and return not thither, but water to earth and make it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at verse 11 now. Look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it, if your mind is renewed enough to accept what I'm saying, that I'm speaking supernatural and I'm not speaking on normal standards. So the Bible is not a normal standard book, it's a supernatural book. You see? And you have that divine right. So thoughts, faith, ways, word, and divine results. Now, let's slap down three principles to apply to this lesson. And I better stick it here so I can see, keep going over this subject. Because I want you to give your faith the right mindset. Mm-hmm. Let me set that so I can keep reminding you what we're talking about. Here's the first living principle. Your faith mindset will determine how far your faith will take you in life. In other words, there are people who are trying to operate in faith with scriptures, but they didn't stop to get their mind renewed. And so they're trying to work faith without a renewed mind. See? And Satan come along and annihilate their faith because their thinking is weak. So your faith mindset will determine how far your faith will take you in life. Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Secondly, and that's Romans 12:3, because he's talking about training, how you think, three times how you think. Then he said, God had every man to measure faith. See, the measure of faith is not going to do you any good if you don't think right. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay in the same measure. First measure he gave you. Secondly, the second principle, you will begin to train your faith, the thoughts of God. Begin to train your faith, the thoughts of God, by visualization, by affirmation, by meditation. See it. Say it. Feed on it. Now, here's what a statement I want to make. If you've been listening to me up to this point, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 4, and I'm going to make a statement based on that verse if you've been listening. See, you can set you and not listen. You can set, you'll be tuned in and not listening if you've been listening. If you've been listening, you can go here. And I'm going to make a statement, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, right? And this is the victory. This is the victory, right? That overcomes the world, even our faith, right? Now we're back to that same world in Romans 12:2. That's that same world. I put a conformity on you, even if you're in church, if you don't know the mind of Christ. Now watch what I'm going to say. This third principle I want to give you. And because of you hearing this message, your future faith life will always cause you to live in victory over every situation. The rest of your life, your future faith life. See, you're coming from one faith life. Tonight, you're coming into a new faith life. You see, because what we're doing, we're giving our faith the right mindset. So this is revelation. This is not religion. This is not ritual. This is a fresh reality, a fresh rhema, word from God. And it says your future life will always cause you to live in victory. Your future faith life will always cause you to live in victory over every situation. Oh, man, you got to say something. All y'all get ready. Everybody stand up. Get ready. Y'all can say this. Everybody in the house, stand up. Oh, y'all, all 500 of them, stand up. Me in the car, pull side of the road. My future faith life will always cause me to live in victory over every situation. Now, y'all didn't say with no gunk or nothing. You got to put your feeling in it. You got to put your mind in it. You're making an affirmation. You're making a declaration. You're making a decree. You're putting it in the air wave of every step you're going to take from this night forward. Okay, so this is not practice. This is the real thing. Okay, so you have to say it from within. It's not the loudness. It's the realization and the reality and the revelation of it, of giving your faith the right mindset. And this is one of the things will happen to you from this life forward. So we have to say it, my future life will always cause me to live in victory over every situation. Now, you know as well as I know, the situations are coming. Okay? But if you permit the Holy Spirit, what he's trying to make a deposit in you tonight, to know that you can have fun with situations that don't look like they're going to work out your favor. See, faith, I'm hearing this. Faith is a favor maker. Sit down and write that down. Faith is a favor mixer. Faith, you be in the worst situation you can ever be in, and faith start mixing favor with it. And make that awkward situation come out in your favor. Because you believe in God. Now, in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, right? And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? Huh? Huh? When you have something you're going through, seek God. When you're going through something, just keep seeking God. Keep praying him, keep seeking him, because he's going to give you the answer. But watch what I say to you now. Watch what I'm going to tell you based on that verse. Watch, I want you to get it. Watch what I tell you based on that verse. Everything in life comes from your faith mindset. Everything in life, without faith, is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that did it to see him. Now, you never heard this term I'm about to say, because men don't think it's possible. Soul believing. Your soul believing. Because every time the scripture is talking about your heart, it's talking about your soul. Mark 11, 23 is a soul voice. It's talking about your soul. 3 John, beloved, worship above all things, your prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper. Make your faith thinking stay in alignment with the will of God. You hear me? I mean, just call that mind and say, shut up. No, we ain't gonna believe that. No doubt, no unbelief, no worry, no anxiety. I don't care how it look. I'm looking somewhere else. I'm looking in, I got another set of eyes. Make your faith thinking, make your faith thinking stay in alignment with the will of God. Feed your faith thoughts of victory all the time. 1 John 5:4. Feed your faith. Who listening to me out there? Feed your faith thoughts of victory all the time. Are you listening? All right. Now, everything that have been void in your life, everything that seem like it's empty, everything that seems like it does not want to move, I want you to pay close attention. I want you to stick with me right now. Everything look like it's not working in your life, we're about to change it in a few seconds. Here's how we're going to change it. Turn to James chapter 1. I'm going to make a statement. It's going to change everything. That all right with you?
Yes.
You see, I got my teaching clothes on tonight. You know, I want to tell these preachers, stop wearing these little band long shirts. And I like that girl. That girl say, take me before the king. Who? What her name is? Tamala, man. Yeah, I heard her singing that song. She was dressed real nice. I said, yeah, you're going to go before the king. You got to be dressed nice.
That's right.
And these I don't know, these seats of sanctity people didn't start wearing these little band long, little pants with big pockets on them and little tennis on to preach God gospel. Let's quit this mess. All right, let me get back before I get lost here. James 1 and 8. Oh, yeah, that's why I compliment Steve. Steve, be clean, man. I watch Steve just as he's clean. You might say a few words I don't like, but I just start watching anyway because he's clean. I want to look at a verse in James chapter 1, verse 8. Your faith been in trouble because of this. Voidness been in your life because of this. You ever heard this statement? I never heard it either. Double-minded faith. I might get it, and I might not get it. That is not faith. Faith never returned back from war without victory. So here in James 1:8, it says, here's a person in a battle, tell you the truth. And he told him, ask for wisdom. But then in the 8th verse, he said what? Say it with me. A double-minded man
is unstable in all his ways.
Now, I would ask you to question now what that voice is saying. I saw something as soon as I read that voice. Most people are operating in double-minded faith. I might get it, and I might not get what I'm believing for. See, but if you got your mind renewed and you understand God and you got the mind of Christ, Christ never thought he wasn't going to get what he wanted. See, and you have the same ability to operate just like him. But here, a double-minded man, so it messed my faith up when I'm double-minded. My goodness. Read that whole James 1 through 8, you'll see what happened. It talks about wisdom, it talks about faith and patience, and you'll see something. But I don't have time to stay there. I'm going to make this statement now. I told you that something tonight going to happen to you that's going to change everything in your life. Didn't I say that on this verse? The voidness in your faith must turn to victory because of right faith thoughts. So every voidness, every emptiness you had in your life up to this night forward will be full with victory. The voidness in your faith must turn to victory. Oh, my goodness. The voidness of your faith must turn to victory. Say, the voidness of my faith turn to victory. Right now, right here. Let me give you two or three things. I'm gonna have to close, and then I'll give you this affirmation. I want to do this affirmation with you, because there's a ministry. It was ahead of its time, and I tried to follow that ministry, and I got scared and went back in, and. Some finish work I got to do and some things, because I'm bold enough to do some things that need to be done. You have some things for your faith to think on. I'll give you some scriptures, and I might not go to them, but I want you to write them down. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Here's some of the things your faith to think on. Speak. When you speak, speak with faith. Speak with expectancy. One of the verses that I was raised upon is that 23rd and 24th verse of Mark 11. Very, very, I said, whosoever shall say, my spiritual father taught that verse over to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, and he shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things, what he says, shall come to pass, he shall have. What's that he said? Notice what he said, not doubt where? That's his soul. Now, the top voice of your soul, you ain't never heard this either, is your mind. Your mind is the first speaker in your soul, not your imagination, not your conscience. Your mind is the first speaker in your soul. And then the second thing I want you to do after this night is have confidence. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in him. Have that confidence. With your faith thinking right, have that confidence. Then, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we've come to the point here to find out, based on Mark 9:23, that all things are possible. I get my faith, my thinking lined up with my faith. Because the only avenue the enemy can get in on me is my thinking. The word is called deception. But if I'm not double-minded, there's no room for deception. The other word take place, deliverance. I've been delivered by the blood of Jesus. It's already paid for. So all things are possible. And so you leaving here tonight. Now here's another thing I'm going to give you. Luke 17:5-6. Just bear with me because I got to give it to you because I got so much stuff coming at me now. From this night forward, you live in ever increasing faith. Your faith soul. I know you want to hear this statement. I'll give you three things on that right quick. Your faith with proper thinking will rock your world. How many ready for the world to be rock? How many thought your world going to be rock on a Tuesday night? Your faith with proper thinking. I want you to listen to this tape over and over. Your faith with proper thinking will rock your world. That's Proverbs 23:7 again. It will bring you into a place called, and I'll give you a scripture, it will bring you to a place called passing all understanding. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:6-8. Your faith going to bring you to places you're going to live a life that is past all understanding. Oh, wow. Then during that process, constantly, you're going to be framing a brand new world. Yes. Hebrews 11:3. You're going to be framing a brand new world. And then the third thing, when your faith with proper thinking will rock your world, passing all understanding, framing your world. And then the third thing, I want them to stand up and make this affirmation. What time is it? You'll be in a position of continuously being rewarded. Say it, continuously. I'm in the position of being continuously rewarded. Catch this as fast as you can. I don't want to take it back home. I saw something else I had here that I can't. My thoughts and faith must be in harmony. I'm going kind of fast now. My thoughts and faith, because I've been 50 minutes tonight. I've been trying to cut back to a half hour. I'm 50 minutes again. My thought and faith must be in harmony. The enemy will not rob my faith life with doubt, thoughts, and suggestion another day. My faith think only the thoughts of God all the time, no matter how things appear to me. Man, that's good stuff there. And listen to this one very carefully, because it's the finished work of my faith is clearing my mind. In other words, everything looks like going to hell. I mean, you know, the dots not right, everything like it's not in place, but when he said, my thought, my faith must be in harmony, the enemy will not rob my life with doubt, thoughts, and suggestion another day. My faith think only the thoughts of God all the time, no matter how things appear to be. So the finished work of my faith is clearing my mind. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I done lost where I'm at. I'm just preaching everything. Listen carefully. Could it be my thought has crippled my faith? You know, my little secretary there, she's no longer my daughter-in-law, she's my daughter. And she took over as secretary, and so she kind of followed me, she kind of knew him. She typed him out for me, you know. Renewed and restored faith cometh to the body of Christ. Tonight. And here is what a strong faith mindset consists of. Write these scriptures so you can read it. Romans 4, 13 through 21. It consists of a promise not made of no effect. It consists of righteousness, of faith not made void. It consists of grace. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. It functions as it is written, no matter what it looked like. It flows in an imagination that is supernatural, calling things that be not as though they were. And it used hope as fuel, supernatural hope. You'll read that in Romans chapter 4. Go over that. Go over those verses. I don't have time. Stand your defeat. Let me give you this affirmation. I want you in these affirmations. I'll be coming to you in an affirmation pretty strong now, because visualization, affirmation, and meditations are so important. And you know, racism over in my life. And all of y'all who listen to me, if it's not over in your life, you're just flat-footed stupid, because you're not listening to revelation. I don't care what nobody else say. You know who you are in Christ. All right. Let's say this with all that we got in us. My faith will not suffer another day without proper thoughts. You heard that? I will feed my faith on daily basis the thoughts of God. Therefore, from this time forward, I know that all victories in life belong to me. Now, y'all know we got to go over that one. I want that to drop in your spirit. Therefore, from this time forward, now I'm talking about this night. I'm talking about right now. From this time forward, I know that all victories, all victories in life belong to me. We're just selling some things in your home and stuff you're thinking about, finance, whatever, health, whatever. All right. The good faith life is in charge now. I am stepping into higher ground. I will think victorious faith. I will talk my faith victory. I will walk in faith results. And that is the closing. All right. You got it, boy. Hallelujah.